Well, good morning, OFH. I know a lot of us just went through just celebrating worship together and joining in on the same songs. I'm sure our playlists were just slightly off and whatnot. Some of us have commercials, some of us don't going through that. But just want to thank you all for taking the time to do that and also for just joining in to worship with one another. There's something about knowing that we're all singing the same songs together, knowing that we're united in spirit and united in what the Lord is doing among us right now. So, welcome again to our home. Welcome to OFH. We're really just delighted to have you here with us today. This is the fourth time we've done this out of our home, and we've just been loving being able to do this and seeing what God is doing right now and just sending His word to the world. If you're not regularly part of OFH, we just want to welcome you here today. You might be from somewhere far off in the world. You might also be from right around here in Southern Maryland, and it could be that your church isn't offering any virtual services at this time. We're blessed in that we're able to do that. We've got a team of folks that have been working really hard to make sure that we can do this. And every week, we've had to change up our setup even a little bit more. This week, also different. So we're just excited to be doing this together. So as long as you're with us here, we just hope that the Lord is feeding you, that He's blessing you, and we just bless the churches that you're from as well. We're thankful for the leadership that you have there. And even if they can't meet you in this way right now, we're just praying that the Lord blesses them and continues to pour out His mercy upon them. So thanks for being with us here today. I'm excited about the word that the Lord has for us today because He's really after something in this season. On each one of our streaming services right now, we have hosts that are there. So if you have questions, if you have prayer requests or whatnot, feel free to just put it in the comments, let people know, or contact the host and just say, "Hey, I need some prayer right now. I want to respond to this word." All of us as Christians are able to pray with one another, and so they're well capable of doing that. I thank them for being on board and being willing to be available to you right now. So before we get started, let's pray because it's always the best place for us to start. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the word that you're bringing forth. We're thankful for your gospel message that's reaching through the world. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have today to come and worship you and to fix our eyes upon Jesus. We are just so honored to be able to do that. Holy Spirit, we're thankful that you are active in the earth right now, that you are here with us. You're our comforter, you're our teacher, you're our friend, you're our paraclete. You come alongside and strengthen us. So we welcome your presence, your manifest presence to wherever we are right now, Lord. We are gathered together online, but Lord, we are gathered together in spirit right now. So we ask right now that you would just inhabit the places that we're at, that we would feel your presence with us. And that, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth today would be your words for us, Lord. Lord, that they would penetrate our hearts, that they would come and bring about peace and strength. And Lord, that they would also draw our eyes towards Jesus, that they would be a testimony of who Jesus is and a release of grace in the earth right now. And thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Amen. Well, at 2 p.m. today, we have a really great opportunity here in Maryland. Our governor has declared basically a moment of prayer for all of us, and we'd really like for other people to be joining in with that around the world. That's 12 p.m. Sorry, I said 2 p.m. 12 p.m. Eastern time here in Maryland. And I just wanted to say I'm so thankful that in this season, our governor and other leaders in our country are just really reaching out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, we want your answer here. We are doing everything that we can, but we are desperate for you to come and intervene in this situation." And so there's a surrender and a submission to the Lord and a recognition that we have the opportunity to come before him as a people and cry out to him for mercy, cry out to him for grace and healing, that he would turn the tide here. And there's just a recognition from our leadership that that's something that's necessary. So I'm excited to participate in that myself, and I'm going to invite you guys to participate in that too. So at 12 p.m. today, stop what you're doing and just pray and cry out to the Lord together. Recognize you'll be united with Christians all across the state and really all across the world right now that are just crying out to the Lord for His grace and for His help. So thank you, Governor Hogan. Really appreciate it, that you're doing that, and we're excited to participate in that. Well, today is Palm Sunday. This is the first day of Holy Week. We're kicking this thing off, and I think it's just such an amazing thing that we have to do right now. in recognizing that Christ is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. And we get to celebrate that. Now, when Jesus came for Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, he was entering into the final days that marked the finality of what he was brought here in the earth to do, what God sent him to do here in this earth. So we get to celebrate that today. And I think it's extremely poignant in this time for us this year and in this time and season to recognize that Jesus is King. He is King and he is Lord over every situation. He is King and he is Lord over what's going on here right now. And so we have the opportunity to come and just really emphasize that right now and say, okay, Lord, you are King. You are Lord. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the answer to everything that we have going on right now. And so we just welcome you into this moment, and we just want to lift you up and magnify you. So let's go into that time here. I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Now, you find what was called the triumphal entry four times in Scripture. It's in each of the four Gospels. And they each, you know, share it a little slightly differently, but I'm going to go with Matthew because I really like the way Matthew shares that today. So here we go. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle." Keep that in mind, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." See, Jesus came, and as he's entering, people honor him. They throw the cloaks on the ground. They cut the palm branches off of the trees, and they spread them at the feet. So as he's coming in, he is just he's coming in over that. And there's just this this shout of Hosanna in the highest. It's praise towards God. It's praising, recognizing that here comes the Messiah, and he is King, and he is entering into the city. And today, we're getting to celebrate his coming into Jerusalem, that triumphal entry, recognizing that we're kicking off those events that lead to his death and resurrection 1 week later when we come back for Easter. He's heralded as King at this time. And it's interesting that it's a very unique way that he's coming in. He's coming in gentle and he's riding on a donkey, right? He's not coming in with swords and spears and, you know, taking the city by storm. He's coming in confidently, knowing who he is, knowing what his identity is, and that he has kingship in this situation coming in, and people are responding. Now, not every heart responded to him in the same way here. You have others that are watching this and they're scared about it, or they're angry about it or whatnot. They are opposed to him, but there are those that recognize who he is, and they're just joyfully joining in that moment, recognizing the coming of their King. The kingship of Jesus is an important thing for us to recognize. We have an opportunity right now in this season to begin to herald in this recognition that Jesus is King. Now, it's not that nobody's done that. It's not that nobody is in that place. But we as Christians in this time have the opportunity in this season to say, "Jesus, you are King. You are Lord. You are Christ. You are the Prince of Peace. You are my God, and you are my leader. You are my ruler. You're the head of the body of Christ, and I'm part of that. I get to be part of the church." That has some significant things that play down the road for us. So we're going to be talking through that today, because I just sense from the Lord right now just a welcoming, a beckoning to him that's saying, "Just come to me. Come to me right now. If you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, you've seen us talking about rest and power and repentance and all these things. And you're going to hear echoes of that today because there's just the sound from the Lord right now that has to do with all of those things. A functioning in rest, a functioning in power, a functioning in faith in Him, and a repentance as we watch the things that have been just accumulating in our lives come away. And there's decisions that we have to make. So let's get into that a little bit. We have to be serious about the fact that Jesus Christ is King. And I say that to both unbelievers and to believers. I don't know where you are right now in your walk with the Lord. Maybe you haven't started it yet. Maybe you've been watching Him and wondering, do I go and follow Him or not? Maybe you've come to Jesus. Maybe it's been a long time that you've been walking with Him. Maybe you've strayed a little bit. Maybe you are walking very closely with the Lord right now. But for all of us in this season, there's a call that He has to us to move forward with Him in new and fresh ways. See, God is always after our heart. He's always after our heart. You go back to the garden, He was about their hearts. He wanted their hearts inclined towards Him. The fall that took place with Adam and Eve was a separation between them. Sin separated us. And they fell away. And then you see happening with Cain and Abel. Abel, his heart was inclined towards God. Cain, who also wanted to pursue God, didn't give Him his whole heart. He didn't give Him his best. And God told him so. And then we see the first murder comes on the other side of that. But God is always after our heart. He wants us fully to follow Him. He wants us fully to be submitted with Him, to Him. He wants us fully to recognize that He is King. He wants our agenda to be aligned with His agenda. He wants to be everything to us. And that's what He's calling us for. The manner in which we are submitted to Jesus is vitally important to us. And we're right now in a season of decision and opportunity. This is not a time for comfortable Christianity. We've been in a season where we've seen comfortable Christianity be kind of the modus operandi, but God is calling us to serious Christianity. He's calling us to that winnowing Christianity, where it's really clear that who it is that we're following. Now, Jesus said that you're the salt of the earth. You're the city set on the hill. We should be standing apart from the world right now. And there's a lot of in the church at large, big C church in the world, that looks a whole lot like the world and not a whole lot like something different than the world. And I think God is giving us an opportunity right now to step up, to step forward, to let the things that have kept us behind really fall behind and fall away as He calls us into new things. He wants us to become serious about our relationship with Him and who He is as Lord and Savior. Our submission to Him as King. And you're going to keep hearing me say this today. He is King. He's the King of glory. And He is worthy of all of our honor, all of our praise, all of our life, everything that we have to give Him. He's worthy of it all. So there's four things I think that we should be considering right now as we're listening to this message and as we're going on beyond this. One, do I have a relationship with Him? Do I know Jesus? Have I given myself to Him? Have I surrendered my heart to Him? Have I welcomed Him into my heart? Have I welcomed Him in as my King, right? That's one kind of big conglomerate question. The second question is this, really. Is He truly King over every aspect of my life? Have I given Him a part or have I given Him all of it? Now, there's a journey that we have with Him as we explore that. There comes up other things that we realize as we go through our lives that we've not yet surrendered that part to Him. But if our commitment is that He is King over our entire life, then that decision, while it might be challenging to let go of things, has already been made. It's the walking through of that. Here's the other one. Am I following Him? You see, it's not just enough to make Him King and declare that He's King. Am I actually following Him? See, when He met His disciples, He said, come follow me. Come follow me. Leave what you have behind. Leave everything that you're doing. Everything that's your life of your own accord. Leave it and follow me. Come follow me. So am I following Him? And here's the final one. Am I following His word? That requires that I'm in His Word. That requires that I know His Word, that I've been meditating on His Word, that I've been looking at His Word as the standard for how I'm supposed to live my life. That when I have questions, I go to Him and I go to His Word and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, teach me. I know it's here, but I need you to give me that that rhema, that word in the moment. Speak to me right now. What do I need to know? And if we ask and we seek and we knock, we're going to find, because He's a good Father and He gives to us. This is a time for the church to arise in the earth, to be shown as set apart. This is a time for us to step forward. See, God is using this moment. He's using this moment, what's happening right now, as a catalyzing event for the body of Christ. There's things that have to change. There's things that have been kind of stagnant and not moving forward yet. There's been a lot of energy that's building, but nothing has cracked out yet. God is using this event right now as a catalyzing thing for the body of Christ. He is sharpening us in this time. He is honing us in this time. He is transforming us in this time if we will allow Him to do it. Now, I say all those things, and it might hit you in the gut in different ways, but I want to set the tone for how God is moving forward in this. Something Katie and I have been talking about recently quite a bit, and that is this very prophetic sign that's taking place here in America right now. And it has to do with our two ships, our two U.S. Navy hospital ships, Mercy and Comfort. I believe it's Mercy is out in Los Angeles, the port of Los Angeles right now. And Comfort is in the port of New York. Our two major ports on our seaboards, our western and eastern seaboards. And these two hospital ships are being used as an overflow capacity, not for patients that are COVID-19, but for patients that have something else that's going on that need help. And they can't be seen in the regular hospitals, or they might contract the illness. God has literally, this is a very prophetic thing, He has literally flanked our country on both sides in the mainland with Mercy and Comfort. I want you to let that sink in. The way we name things matters. The way names show up in situations matters. Because God is, He's so active, and He's leaving breadcrumbs for us to see really where He is, what He's doing. Is He calling us to repentance? He absolutely is. But where is the motivation from Him behind all that? It's Mercy. It's Comfort. It underpins everything that He does. He loves us. He wants to draw us forward. He wants to give us opportunities to set things aside because He wants freedom for us. He wants us to be able to follow Him. He wants us to passionately pursue Him. He wants us to be doing the things that He's called us to be doing. So when He's looking at this situation that's arisen in the earth, He is allowing it, but He is coming with mercy and comfort for us, because He's going to bring us through it. He's going to rescue us out of it, because He says this: it is His kindness that leads us to repentance. Romans 2:4. It is His kindness that leads us to repentance. Jesus is our refuge. He's our strong tower. He's our rock. He's the one that we can run to for shelter. He's the one that leads us through and out of the storm. He's the one who is not worried about the storm. He's the one who speaks silence to the storm when the timing is right. Because He is not worried, He is not afraid, He is confident, knowing that He's working all things to the goodness of those who love Him and follow Him. He's doing incredible things. So when you think about this, with Mercy and Comfort being just flanking both sides of our country right now, God is doing that work for us. Okay? It's a prophetic image that's taking place right now. So He's surrounding us in that way. And I want to connect that point with how He came into Jerusalem. He did not ride in with, you know, spears and swords and shields and a whole army. He came in on a colt. It says that He was gentle coming in. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, He was coming in gentleness. And so that just speaks to that kindness and mercy, drawing people towards Him. He's doing that thing. We have the opportunity in this season, like those who were in Jerusalem that day, a great crowd of people were there gathered and laid things down for Him. They took their mantles off and laid them down so He could walk across them. They cut the branches down, laid them down to honor him and to just praise God and sing Hosanna in the highest. We have an opportunity in this season, likewise, to recognize Jesus as King and to surrender our hearts to him, to put our hope and our trust in him and him alone. We have the opportunity right now to hand things over to him, to rest in him and his goodness, in his kindness, in his compassion, his faithfulness, his friendship, his comfort. We have the opportunity to connect with his strength, his might, his promises, his salvation, his victory, his kingship, his lordship, and his rule, because life in him is eternal. It's about him. It's not about you. It's about him. What it is about you is your surrender to him so that he is put on display in that situation. Your recognition that you are powerless to really effectuate any eventuality here. We are all dependent on him right now in this season. We're in a time in the world, the entire world right now, where we are functioning in the unseen realm. Everything here has to do with the unseen. Think about it. Can you see a virus with your naked eye? No, you cannot. You cannot see a virus with your naked eye. Can most of us see God walking in the earth right now? No, we can't. Some people see him. But for most of us, with our naked eye, we cannot see Jesus walking around. Now, does it mean that either two of these does not exist? No, it does not. Now, with the virus, we get fear. When we focus on the virus and we focus on everything that it's doing, we see the effects of that same thing. We see sickness, we see illness, we see death, we see fear. There's a whole spiritual aspect behind this thing, but this is an unseen enemy that doesn't care about who you are, from your nationality, from your creed, for anything like that. It doesn't matter your gender, any of it. All of it is against humanity right now. We have a common enemy and it is unseen. And we're seeing the effects of it sweeping across the planet right now. God is also unseen. And we can see the effects of him as well. When we put our focus in him, when we put our faith in him, when we recognize that Jesus is King and Christ and Lord, we see the effects coming forward. We see love, God's love manifested in his people. In his people, they will know that we are Christians by the way we love, with the way we love one another and the way we love others. We see grace. We see peace in the midst of chaos and calamity when we are focused on God. We see rest taking place. We will see healing take place in this situation. We will see healing take place in this. We also see life, not just life that just ekes away, life that is abundant. We have abundant life in God. Because in Christ, our life is eternal. It goes beyond this natural life. It keeps on moving. See, there's only one of these two unseen things is going to bring about life. It's God. It's always God. It's not our hope and our faith in our health systems. It's not our hope and our faith in other people. It's not our hope and our faith in anything that we can actually do ourselves. Ultimately, we are dependent on God for eternal life. And that eternal life doesn't wait until we pass on through physical death into it. Eternal life takes place now, and it continues on beyond natural death. God wants all of our commitment. He wants all of our heart committed to him. He wants all of our focus on him. And he wants to transform us in that process. And he is very serious about how much he wants all of our commitment to him. I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. Now, I'm sure this is going to come up on the screen here. But I encourage you right now, if you can, to use the manual method. It helps to actually get inside your word. It helps to get inside a paper copy of the Bible or even a Bible app on your phone. You want to see what's going on around these scriptures. What we put up on the screen is wonderful. It gives you what the actual wording says, but you need to get to know your word. You need to get to know what's going on around these things. Don't take these words out of context. Know what they mean. Know what's going on around them. Dig in. Get inside this thing. Highlight it. mark it up with your ink and all that kind of stuff. God wants us to study and consume his word. It needs to get into us. It needs to penetrate us. It needs to be something that we're ruminating upon. It needs to be something that we're really thinking on. And right now, this is very, very important. So we're going to go Matthew 10, 37 through 39. And this is just after Jesus has said, you got to acknowledge me. And I came I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. This is prior to this. A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Jesus is highlighting, to follow me, you have to be willing to just go all the way in. And here's what he says in verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He wants to be first. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus wants to be first. And then he says this, and anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He wants to be first, and he knows that it's going to cost you. He knows that it's going to cost you. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Your destiny in life is to be found in Jesus. Your life in its fullest is to be found in Jesus. And if you want to hold on to your life, if you want to hold on to your way of running your own life, it's going to end in ruin. And it will always end less than it could have been if you were in Christ and that you gave everything that you had to him. The way your life runs out in him could be completely different than how you would run your life. But it is what you are destined to be in, and it is full, and it is the fullness. God gives grace for you to run in what he's called you to do. He gives grace for you to do things that you would never be able to do before because it's dependent upon him. It's not dependent on what you can accomplish on your own. It's dependent on what he is doing and how he empowers you to do those things. God has a purpose and a plan and a call for each one of us, and it requires our full commitment to him, to where if he says, stop doing that, we will stop. If he says, go and jump and run after that thing, we will go and jump and run after that thing, even if it makes no sense, because we know his voice and we will go where he's called us to go. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us in a lot of different ways, but it is worth everything because he is worthy of all of it. He's worthy of it all. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one that can bring us back to a connection with our Father. See, if salvation is not solely about going to heaven when we die. It is about going to heaven when we die, but that's not the sole purpose of it. It is about receiving, being rescued out of the dominion of darkness into the dominion of light. It is about entering God's kingdom as a child of God in relationship with him. It's about coming home. It's about actually being in a kingdom that has a king. He rules. We get to rule and reign with him, but only to the limit of the authority and the responsibility that he has given us. It is not for us to go think that we can run things the way that we want to. We have to submit and surrender to the king of the kingdom that we are a part of. And it is good. By the way, if you're in darkness, you are ruled by the king of darkness, and you don't have an option. You think you're running your life, but it's ultimately going to end in destruction. True life, real life, comes in Christ. But when we come in, we forfeit our right to rule our own lives, and we surrender to him and to his will. The byproduct of that is that we get to be with him forever, on this side of natural death and on the other side in heaven. And along the way, we get to keep turning to him. We get to keep turning to him as we're following him, as we're surrendered to him, as we're trusting in him. This is called repentance. It's to turn away from to something. And when we're turning, as we go down our journey with the Lord, we find along the way times where we have to turn from where we've been going to where we can turn back to him. We have to remember that Jesus is the head of the body, and we are to be submitted to him. Now, there's a humbling aspect of this as we lay things down at his feet. Now, if you joined Katie and I on Friday on Facebook Live, we showed you that picture of Lulu, our elephant. If you missed it, go back and watch that video, because there's some poignant things that were brought forward in that. in that we recognize that there's things that we get fearful and worried and otherwise overwhelmed by, and we have the opportunity to lay those burdens down at Jesus' feet, and we get to swim in the grace that he has given us. Now, likewise, there are things that we have carried with us in life. These could be bad doctrines, bad thoughts, bad emotions, things that are opposed to who God is, and he wants those things to fall away. So just like Katie had talked about handing those things over, then naming those things to the Lord that we are fearful of or we have anxiety or worry over, there are things that the Lord wants to take from us in this season that says, you can't keep carrying that moving on into the next season that I have for you. You can't keep carrying that into the triumph and victory that I have for you on the other side. It's going to rob you of that. And it's going to rob the testimony in the earth of those things. So I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. And he's talking here about areas of disobedience in their life. He's talking here about areas that need to be cleansed. So hear what he's saying here. It says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. Do you hear it again? Christ calls us to repentance out of his kindness and his goodness towards us. I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. We do not live by the standards of this world. We live by God's standards. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul is talking about spiritual things. There are thoughts and there are attitudes and there are belief systems that we have carried with us from the world into our Christian lives. And God wants to come through and zap them. He wants to take them captive, and he wants to take those areas of our life and pull it into obedience with who he is. We come into alignment with our King. That we say, I'm sorry, I'm going to let go of that and keep following you right now. God wants to do that with us. So there's some questions that we should be asking right now. Now, as Christians, we have entered into a time where the majority of the distractions that we have in our life have been pulled away from us. But we can quickly add other distractions in. We can be wary of coming to terms and actually doing the work with the Lord to say, God, what is it that you want from me right now? But Jesus says, I want you to ask the right questions right now, because I have grace, I have mercy, I have compassion, and I have the power right now to bring about change and transformation in your life if you're willing to do this with me. We need to be asking the right questions. There's a lot of things that are going on in the media right now that can distract us. There's a lot of things that are going on right now, questions that people are asking, trying to get to the bottom of different things. Listen, God is doing a work in your heart right now. So do the work with him. This is a pivotal time for us. Questions that we shouldn't be asking when we're in trial or when we're going through a hard time. And some of us have learned this. It's not, why are you doing this to me? How long will this last? Why is this happening to me? What can I do to get this to stop? It's not those things. God is always after us coming to him and saying, Lord, you're doing something right now. What is it in me that you want access to? What is it in me that you want me to give over to you? What are you after right now? And how can I surrender to you in that area? The faster we get to that point, the quicker the Lord does his work in us and begins to transform us. God is capable of ending this entire thing right now. And just as quickly as this thing sprang up, I believe God is going to quickly bring an end to it. But let us pray that when he does, it will be after he has done the work in us to bring about that transformation. Because on the other side of this, folks, there's a revival coming in the earth. And God is preparing us for that revival. It's something that we could not get to right now. I want to go into Joel. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to encourage everybody right now. Read Joel. Listen to Joel. Ruminate on Joel right now. There's so much in Joel that parallels where we are right now. And I'd encourage you to get in there and read it. It's rich. So we're going to go into Joel chapter 2 because we're talking about repentance. We're talking about us coming before the Lord and saying, what is it that you want? For us crying out to God and saying, God, we want to do real business with you. Here it is, Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. What a word picture. Rend your heart and not your garments. Think about what we were talking about last week, about turning towards him. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? We need to cry out to him right now and humble ourselves at his feet because he wants to answer us. We have the opportunity to cry out to him right now. Where God is taking us globally as the body of Christ requires that there are things for all of us, for all of us. This isn't some are better than others. All of us have things that need to fall away and be left behind the old season. This is a baptism by fire, planet-wide. And just like butterflies transform from that worm to that butterfly on the other side, there's things that get left behind as they're nestled in that cocoon. Right now, we are nestled in our cocoons, aren't we? We can't go anywhere. We're getting food. We're getting whatever we can, but we're nestled in our cocoons. And God wants to bring about a transformative, metamorphic work in us, the body of Christ, that when we come out on the other side of this, we don't look the same as where we came into it. He's going to transform us. He's doing new things in us. You know, it's funny. There's some of those sayings out there right now. You know, the church has left the building and whatnot, and the church has been deployed. And when I first heard this, the church has been deployed. I think it's a nice thought, but I certainly don't feel deployed sitting in my home right now. Certainly, our message and the message of many churches is going far beyond where it has before, and praise God for that. I think the church has recognized who we are, that the people are the church. Not the building, the people of the church. But I believe this, God has us on house arrest right now. He's got us nestled in our cocoons, and we're learning how to communicate on a new level with one another and with him. And we're having to come to grips with the things that need to fall away, because who we come out on the other side of this is going to demonstrate his power on a different level, because there are things that are going to fall away in this season. There's a revival coming into the earth. It's going to be larger than anything we've seen before. And God is going to rescue people out of darkness on a level that we haven't seen before. The fields are ripe for harvest. And we as his people need to be seeing that and preparing our hearts for what's coming in that. There are going to be people that get saved in this time, but on the other side, it's going to be something like we have not seen before. And there's an exchange that needs to take place in each of us before we go into that time. And it comes out of humility. As we surrender ourselves and just call upon his grace in this time, in this season, for his world. Here at our Father's house, our vision is to see a hurting world healed, to see people launched into their destiny. We want to see that take place, and that is a transformative, active work. Seeing that world healed. Right now, it almost couldn't be more poignant to see a hurting world healed. to see people launch into their destiny. Do we have any prophetic words today? Before we finish out here, I want to share with you what we have from a prophetic word standpoint. Let's get you over this one.
Good morning. I received a couple of prophetic words from people who texted them in. So I'm going to read it to you. The first one says, I see two doors almost side by side. One door is full of light, and the light is seeping through the door, through the openings. And the other is full of darkness and is physically cold. I keep hearing Revelation 3:20. And this is what that verse says. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dinner with him and he with me. He is waiting with open arms behind the door for you to open your heart and your life to him. So very much an invitation. The second word I received is a picture of an onion and an orange, and both are being peeled back and peeled away. And the Lord is getting after our hurts and our habits and our pain. And I believe, and again, I'm receiving this from someone else. So I'm going to do my best to kind of relay what the Lord is saying in this, but we have an option in this to decide how we're going to view it. And the Lord is really wanting us to view his peeling away and getting after our hurts and our pains as though he's peeling away an orange, where there's a sweetness and a fragrance to it. And there is fruit that is going to come out on the other side. Now we can see it as an onion, and it's going to be maybe a little more painful. It's going to sting a little bit, but really the Lord is after the fruit in this.
Thank you for those. I'm going to do an altar call right now. And on the other side of that, we're going to do some communion. As I've been speaking today, the Holy Spirit has been ministering to our hearts. And I believe there's people that are hearing my voice right now, that whether you're seeing this live or you're seeing this recorded down the line, who hear the call of the Lord right now to you. And you recognize that the things that are going on in your life, everything, the choices that you've made, isn't doing it for you. You're scared right now about what's going to happen with this COVID-19. You don't know if you're going to get hit by this thing or not. You don't know if you're going to come out of this alive. You don't even know if family members or loved ones that you have are going to come out of this alive. And I'll say this, there's going to be people across this planet already that are passing away from this. There's people that are Christians that are passing away from this. The difference is this. All of us has an opportunity on this side of natural death to choose eternal life. For those of us who choose Jesus and follow him, we have eternal life now, and we get to live in the reality of heaven right now. And we get to continue that on in past natural death into eternity. For those of us that do not choose Jesus, because he is the only way, he is the only truth, he's the only door to the Father. If we don't choose him, when we die, we do have eternity. We have eternity in hell. And none of us who get to the other side of that are going to say, I'm so glad I didn't choose Jesus. That's going to be a place of torment. None of us would choose that actively. The Lord is extending an invitation right now to you to say, I want you to come follow me. I want to give you new, abundant life now, here and now. I want you to be with me. I want you to be part of my kingdom. I want to be your king. I want you to live the life that I have destined for you. And you're only going to find that in me. If you abandon the life that you have right now, you will find life in me. That's his promise to you. That is his promise to you. And for those of us that are already following the Lord, as I've been speaking today, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your heart, beckoning you to come closer, to draw near to him, to do that time with him to say, Lord, what is it that you want to shed from me right now? What are the things that you want me to give up to you? For people on both sides of that, I want to pray with you right now, okay? First, for those who do not yet know Jesus. If you don't yet know Jesus and you want salvation right now and to come into his kingdom, just repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you that you came to die for me, a sinner. I know that my sin has separated me from the Father and that you paid the price for me, that you died in my place and God raised you to life on the third day. I choose today to follow you. I choose today for you to become the king of my heart. Lord, I don't know where you will take me, but I give you all of me. Thank you that I get to step out of darkness and into light, out of the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God. Be my king now and forevermore. If you just prayed that with me, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord, he is. You cry out to him, he is going to give you new life, and he just did that. I want to pray with you that are with the Lord already, and you want to give things over to him right now and do that work with him, exploring what he has for you in this new season. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're speaking to my heart right now. I thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity to move forward with you. I have an opportunity to experience new life with you. I ask Jesus for you to come and remove the things in my heart that need to be falling away in this season. I ask for your grace and for your peace right now in Jesus' name. Do your transformative work in my heart right now. I thank you. Lord, we just thank you that you're doing great works here in the earth right now. And we just can't wait to see what's going to happen in people's lives. Now, we just had salvation prayer. I believe there's somebody out there who just got saved, and not multiple people. And for all of us, we have an opportunity right now to participate in communion together. Jack, can you go get the communion elements for us? And give you some time to go and get stuff there at your home if you don't already have them. We're going to share communion. Got that? We got some saltine crackers here. Get one more. Get one more juice up there. All right. Come on over here, guys. Here we go. This bread represents Christ's body that was broken for us, the price that was paid for us, as his flesh was opened up to receive us in. And this juice represents the blood of his covenant, his new covenant with us. His blood was poured out for us. We're coming into this is Passover time. And the Passover celebrates the blood of the lamb that was spread on the doorposts and the lintels of their doors. And the angel of death passed over them and did not come and kill anybody there. We get to celebrate Christ as the true Passover lamb, that he paid the price for all of us. When we go to death, natural death will occur, but the spirit of death will never meet us who believe in Jesus. So Jesus, we thank you for the price that you paid. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. We thank you for the covenant in your blood that was poured out for us. We just receive that today, and we just celebrate your victory over all of these things. We join together in one accord right now to celebrate this. Amen. Take and eat in Jesus' name. And you can drink too. Well, thank you for joining us today. I want to encourage you all to consider tithes and offerings. And this is a challenging time for many of us. Some people have lost their jobs. They don't have an income right now. And so tithing is off the table. But I would encourage all of us to consider going before the Lord right now and offering tithes and offerings. And not even necessarily just here to our Father's house. There are those of us who call this place home already, but there are those of us who call other places home. Wherever it is that you're being fed by the Lord is where we should be tithing into. It's recognizing God's conduit of grace for you. And so I encourage you, especially those that are parts of other bodies, continue to tithe to that body, because there's a season that we're going to come out of this, and God is going to continue to be at work there. So we just want to bless what he's doing as we offer back to him and recognize that he is our source, he is our supply, and we honor him with that. So we just want to bless that. So Father, we just thank you for tithes and offerings. We thank you that for the way that you're resourcing your people right now, Lord. You are our resource. You are our strength. And we recognize that it is all from you. And Lord, that we get to steward that well and return to you, Lord Jesus, that tenth, recognizing that you are our source. We just thank you, Father, for your grace, and your peace, and how you're building your kingdom in this earth. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joining us today, folks. Can't wait to get to communicate with some of you as we move forward into this next week. We're looking forward to posting some more videos to encourage you throughout the week and just connect with what God is saying. I really encourage you to do the work of getting before the Lord and saying, Lord, what is it? What is it that you're looking at for me right now that can be left behind in this season? We're excited about where God is taking us. Pray for peace. Pray for his healing. Pray for his grace. But pray that he is doing the work in his people to bring us to the other side. At 12 noon Eastern time, don't forget, stop. Let's pray together as a state, as those who are far off, recognizing that we can join in with what God is doing here in Maryland, because he's doing things actively in the entire planet right now. All right. Thanks, everybody. I hope you have a great day, and may God bless you and continue to enrich you through this time. See you later.